Hallelujah. Elsa, just lay there and just keep soaking in the presence of the Lord as long as you just feel to. And about Monday, the Lord put prayer on my heart, talking about prayer. And we're going to be studying tonight about various kinds of prayer. We're going to start in Ephesians 6, 18, and this verse, we're going to read it in the Amplified. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you that you will open our hearts, that you will quicken our hearts to your word, that your spirit will jump and leap within us, and that it will, that our prayer will be stirred up tonight, Lord. We just thank you for it. Okay, Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. Some versions say all kinds of prayers. There's different kinds of prayer. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. We all know the scripture in Philippians 4:6 that says, be not anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so right before he tells us to take everything in God, everything in prayer, by prayer to God, he says, be anxious for nothing. Mark 4:19 says, the cares of this world choke the world, the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So when we're burdened with anxiety, it chokes the word where it doesn't bear fruit in our life. So in our beginning part of prayer, it's good to just give all anxiety, give our cares to the Lord, turn everything over to him. Distractions of the world, anxiety, unforgiveness, a spirit of judgment, or accusation against others can short-circuit our prayer life, so that it's important to let the Lord search our hearts and repent and cast off our cares on Jesus as we come in prayer. 1 Peter 5:7 in the New Living Translation says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And we all have cares and we have worries and we have things that come against us. We have an enemy. You know, life brings its challenges. But it says we need to give our cares and worries to the Lord because he does care for us. He really cares for us. And so he will take our worries, he will take our cares as we give it to him. The first kind of prayer we're going to talk about tonight is the prayer of consecration. Making Jesus the Lord of our life, or surrendering to God. And that's where we start, is surrendering to God. Jesus prayed in Luke 22:42. He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And so that needs to be how we start, how we live our life in that attitude of God. Not my will, but your will be done. Whatever you want, God, that's what I want. James 4:7 tells us to submit to God. And that's the first part of prayer. Come before him, yielding to him, submitting to him. We're going to read Romans 12:1. And it's going to be all New Living Translation unless I tell you different. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus, when he was here, he lived in total dependence upon his Father, and he lived in total obedience to his Father. And so we learn to live dependent upon the Lord, that it's not us that's living a Christian life, but we depend on God. It's not our strength. It's not our works. It's that we have him to depend on and yield to. And we make him the Lord. Amen. And the second prayer we're going to talk about is private prayer. We're going to Matthew 6:6. And Jesus said, But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. We all need to have our own personal time communicating with the Lord. We need to have a personal prayer life where we communicate with God personally. When we take time to come to the Lord, we'll find that He's already there waiting for us. You know, He's always ready to meet with us and to fellowship with us. And the power of everything else we do depends on our personal and private relationship that we have with God every day. Our security should be in the love and reverence relationship we have with our Father, not in any position or we may hold or any work we do for Him. Our security is in our personal love relationship with the Lord and our reverence to Him, not what we do for Him or whatever position we have in His kingdom. In the Bible, every great man and woman of God had a lifestyle of prayer, and that's still true today. Everybody that's great in God's kingdom has a lifestyle of prayer. Remember, Moses spent time praying. Joshua loved the house of God. He loved to go into the house of God. David loved the courts of the Lord. He loved to go worship the Lord. And you know, a lot of we hear different ministers today that are you know, have really succeeded, and they spend time with God, and they spend a lot of time just fellowshipping with the Lord. And then the third kind of prayer we're going to look at is corporate or united prayer. Acts 2:1, they were all in one place, in one accord when the Holy Ghost fell. They were there praying together when the Spirit fell. And in 2 Chronicles 5, when they praised the Lord with one accord, the whole building was full of the glory of the Lord. And so there's while our prayer, private prayer time is precious, sometimes when we come into the presence of the Lord and worship the Lord in a spirit of unity and wholeness, it's like the power expands and it's greater and it's really awesome. Awesome things happen. We're going to read Acts 4, 29 through 31. And it said, "Now, Lord, look on our threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So they prayed together. Here there was a group prayer meeting. They were praying together. They prayed in agreement. They had boldness. And the results was miracles. The place was shaken. They were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the word with boldness. So that's some of the benefits of praying together in unity. And then we're going to go on to the prayer of agreement, and we're reading Matthew 18:18 through 19. And it says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall occur, having been bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth shall occur, having been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as regarding anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven." We are to bind evil on the earth and loose good. We're to bind, you know, attacks from Satan, and we're to release blessings and good. The word, it says, if two of you agree, and the word agree is translated from the Greek word where we get our symphoneo, which is where we get our word symphony. And it really literally means to make the exact sound before the Lord. But the cry of our spirits is making the same sound toward the Lord. Hallelujah. Being in agreement not only forms a powerful defense, but it becomes a mighty weapon in the kingdom. There is tremendous power in unity and great weakness in disunity. In the Greek, there's an unusual verb construction here. It has a past perfect tense verb connected to a future tense verb. And this combination is found several places where Jesus is talking about faith, which brings us to the prayer of faith. To come to real faith, we have to know that the object of our faith has already become an accomplished fact in the spirit realm, and we have to know that it's a done deal, even though nothing can be seen yet or experienced with our natural senses. And so that's faith. When we pray in faith, we know it's done. It's done. And when we believe and know it's done, then it will manifest in the physical, in its time. That's the prayer of faith. It must be perceived as completed fact in the spirit realm before there'll be a visible manifestation in this physical time-space world. Then at the right time, it will manifest physically. It says the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And sometimes you don't see immediately results, but you see the results. It comes. Mark 11, 23 and 24, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The prayer of faith will move mountains. In the message, in Romans 10:9, the message says, it's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. So when we speak the word of faith, it welcomes God into our situation and he can go to work for us. It's like faith opens the door for God to come in and do something. Our faith opens the door for him to come in and go to work. And then we're moving on to intercessory prayer. And intercessory prayer is letting the Holy Spirit pray the will of God through us. Going to Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we pray in the Spirit, it's the Spirit that prays through us the will of God, because our mind doesn't know how to pray, but our spirit does. And a lot of times in our morning prayer meetings, we just try to get into praise and into communication with the Lord. And so that when we pray for things that need prayer, we're praying from our spirit, not from our head. Because our head doesn't always know, but the Spirit knows the right answer to the problem. So it's important to get into a flow where the Spirit is flowing through us. Our calling and function is not to replace God, but to release him. Intercessory prayer is an extension of the ministry of Jesus through his body, where we stand in the gap between God and humanity for the purpose of reconciling the world to him, or between Satan and humanity for the purpose of enforcing the victory of Christ. So we either stand in the between place, in the intercession place, for the lost, for their salvation, or we stand against what the devil's doing and enforcing the victory that Jesus already won. Three vital ingredients of intercessory prayer are love, compassion, and boldness. We need to pray in love and compassion and boldness. Be firm in what we ask the Lord. And then there's praise and worship. Praise is the vehicle to take us from the realm of the natural into the realm of the heavenlies. When we worship God, things shift around us, causing everything to come together for good. Worship brings God on the scene. Psalms 22:3 tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. He lives. That's where he lives. That's where he dwells, where people are praising him. And so when we're praising the Lord, we know that his presence is here with us. Hallelujah. We're going to read Philippians 4, verse 4, and then verse 6 and 7 in the Message. And it says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Christ speaks of the anointing part of God. It's the anointing. When the anointing's there, it just pushes worry out of the way. Hallelujah. Worship is powerful for many reasons. One of the most important is that we become more like the one we worship. When we worship the Lord and adore him and worship him, we become more like him. We begin to take on his character traits. If a teenager gets involved in worshiping a rock star and begin to put all their attention to him and listen to all their songs and become so involved with them and they really worship them and they're just an idol to them, what do they become like? They become like who they're looking to. And so when we keep our attention on God and worship him, we become like who we're looking to, who we're putting our attention on. Hallelujah. Praise is also a powerful weapon against the enemy. In the battle of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, they were facing an impossible situation. We're going to read 20, 21, 22. And they were just in, it was just an impossible situation, and Jehoshaphat put the praisers in front of the army. We're going to start in 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And that still works today. It's just like there is power in praise. And we can, whatever situation we're dealing with or facing, if we'll just begin to get lost in worship, it just brings light on the scene. It brings God on the scene, and the enemy will run. You know, and there can be discouragement, and it'll just disappear when you begin to worship the Lord. The next prayer we're going to look at is the prayer of petition or supplication, and that's from Philippians 4:6. It says, be careful for nothing. We've read it several ways so far. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. James 4:2 says that we have not because we ask not. In the Lord's Prayer, part of the Lord's Prayer was, give us this day our daily bread. So there's a place for asking God for what we need. We are, you know, it's good that there's times we need to ask the Lord and petition the Lord for what we need. And then going on, we're going to look at spiritual warfare a little bit. And we're going to go to Ephesians 6:12. And it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So sometimes when there the enemy's coming against us, there is a wrestling in the spirit. There is a wrestling. There is a place where you wrestle. And we're not wrestling in our own strength, but, you know, with the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. But 2 Corinthians 10 tells us that the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we do have a powerful enemy, but he gives us weapons that are well able to defeat that enemy, that are powerful. Hallelujah. And mighty to pull down those strongholds. Our weapons are the word of God and the spirit of the Lord. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Ephesians 6 talks about the sword of the Spirit being an advancement tool. The sword of the Spirit is what we use to go forward in the armor of God. The sword was the only advancement tool. Everything else was for our protection, but the sword was what we used to advance and to go forward and to take the victory. The sword of the Spirit. So we have mighty weapons to go forth. Hallelujah. As we involve ourselves in spiritual warfare, it's important that we remember we're not trying to defeat the devil. He's already been defeated. What we do is represent the victory of the cross. Jesus already won the battle, and we just go in reminding the devil that Jesus already won the battle. Hallelujah. We represent the victory of the cross. Our warfare is an extension of what Christ already did, and what he did, we must enforce. We can vary with boldness, say, "Devil, you have no authority in this situation. Hallelujah. I have brought this need to the Lord. I have given it to the Lord. It belongs to him. And you get your dirty hands off of it because you have nothing to do with it now." Hallelujah. As we enter into the battle, it's important to keep a clean heart. Ephesians 4:27 in the Amplified says, "Leave no room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him." When we have sin in our lives, it's like an open door to Satan. It's like bait to Satan. And so it's good to just, this isn't even in there, but it's good to just say every day, "Lord, search my heart, know my heart, see if there be any evil way in me." Because when we have any kind of sin, and sin can come in so many ways, if we have unforgiveness, if we have a critical spirit, if we have any kind of sin at all in our lives, it gives the devil a foothold. It gives him an open door to come in and work. And so as we go into battle, one of the things that we need to do is make sure our heart and our make sure ourselves are clean before God and right. And that we're clean before the Lord. And in the tabernacle, part of their ways of getting to the Holy of Holies was, you know, they came into the altar first and they presented themselves to the Lord, or they laid sacrifice for their sins, and then they went to the wash basin, the laver, and it was like a mirror, and they not only washed, but they could see themselves in it. And you know, it's so that's part of our daily walk with the Lord. Father, just cleanse me. You know, as we walk in the world, this world is a dirty place, and we walk with people that aren't righteous. You know, we pick up the dust of the world. We do. And so our cleansing and our time spent with the Lord is just a daily cleansing. Lord, you know, just wash me in your presence, wash me in your word, just cleanse me. And so, because we need cleansing, we live in a dirty world and we walk in it, and we need cleansed, you know. from negative attitudes, from lack of faith. Doubt is a sin. Doubting God, not trusting in the Lord is a sin. And you know, the world is so negative. Everywhere you go, everybody's talking about the negative and the negative, and everything's negative. That's the way the world talks. But that's not the way we're to think. And so we have to come in the presence of the Lord, get rid of that. Wash it off. Get rid of it. Our trust is in the Lord, and He's all-powerful. Amen. Then we're going to go on to Watchman's Prayer. We're going to 2 Samuel, I'll just quote it. 2 Samuel 18, 25 through 27 tells how the purpose of the watchman on the wall of a city was to watch for approaching situations, good or bad, so that those within the city could be ready to respond. So the watchman on the wall, we're called to be watchmen on the wall, and we're to be watching. You know, a watchman's at attention. And they're not only watching for the enemy, but they're watching for good things too. They're watching for good messengers. You know, and a watchman can look at someone coming, and they can know whether that's the enemy coming or whether it's a messenger of the king coming with good news. So we're to watch. We're to be alert. A good soldier is very attentive to his surroundings. And a watchman not only watches, he listens. He's alert. Ephesians 6:18 again says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to have our eyes open. You know, we need to know what the enemy's planning against us before it gets here, so we'll know how to pray against it, how to stop what the enemy has planned to do. And so we need to be aware and watchful. Watchman on the wall. Going to 1 Peter 5:8 in the New Living Translation. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We know that John 10:10 says, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus said, but I am come to give life and life more abundant. Anything that kills, steals, and destroys is of the devil. It's the very clear line. And we're to watch because we don't want to let him in any way. Let's go to Isaiah 62, and we're going to read 6 through 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. In my Bible, this is what it says in my Bible, because I pencil the words in. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Faith Ministries Church, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest. The watchmen are to give God no rest till he establishes, until he makes Faith Ministries Church a praise in the earth. And so that's, you know, we continually hold it before the Lord. God, we want your presence here. We want your presence here. We want your glory here. We want you to move here. We want the salvation of souls. We want to see our community affected for the Lord. And we don't let it die. Day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. We stay before the Lord until he makes this house of his, hallelujah, full of his glory. Hallelujah. A praise in the earth. And then the next prayer we're going to take is travailing prayer, and how that goes into also prophetic declarations. Isaiah 66:8 says, for as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Travail is a form of intercession that releases the creative power or energy of the Holy Spirit into a situation to produce, create, or give birth to something. The Holy Spirit wants to release His creative power through us, bringing forth new life. There is a kind of prayer that births, changes situations, set people free to come to Jesus, and brings forth God's will on the earth. And I think this is a very, very important part of prayer. I've seen it work in different situations many times. And a travailing spirit a lot of times is just with weeping and anguish before the Lord. You're just when a woman is in travail with birth, there it's a desperate situation. It's a heavy thing. And travailing prayer is some a kind of prayer that presses through and births new life. We have a friend that he was a little boy about 10 years old, and he was talking about, somebody was talking about an aunt of his that had never been born again, and it just hit him in his heart, and he went to his room and he got on his bed and he cried and he sobbed and he sobbed and he sobbed. He said, "God, thank you for this aunt's salvation," and he sobbed for her. He went on and on just sobbing for this aunt. And she lived in another city, and that 2 days later, she drove to church to go to church with this family, and she gave her heart to the Lord. That small child yielded to this anointing of travailing prayer, and it brought a result. And I have seen that. I have seen travailing prayer in me where I was praying for a certain pueblo or a certain place that hadn't had the gospel, and I went into just crying and crying. When we first moved here, the Lord put that area of the Cumbas area in my heart, and for like 3 months, I wept and I wept and I wept and I cried, and I couldn't stop crying, and I cried and I cried, and I said, "Lord, send someone to those people. Send someone to those people. Send your word. Send your love." And I didn't even know about the area. And my spirit, I knew. And I cried all the time. And my kids would tell me, "Mom, you don't have to cry to pray." But I had to cry. I couldn't help but crying. I cried and I cried and I wept. And we began then to do a survey of an area, a circumference of 100 miles. And there was hundreds and hundreds of pueblos in that area that didn't have any Christian church at all. There were like 5 churches in a radius of 100 miles that taught salvation, that was a Christian church. There was just almost not there. Brother Jesus was there, and there was a few that was there. And now there in that area that I travailed for is full of churches. We went through some areas that I even haven't even been through. They're full of churches. They're full of churches. The towns are full of churches. You know, there's churches going into all the towns that didn't have any churches. It's just like the word is getting forth. And so when God calls us to travail, there's things birthed in the spirit that you do see results. Things happen with travailing prayer. You birth something. I really believe, we have prayed for Douglas for years, but I feel in my spirit that God is going to call us very soon into a travailing type prayer and a weeping and a mourning for our town. I feel like we're on the brink of going into a real time of weeping and crying and travailing for God for our city. And we haven't entered into that completely, but I believe we're at that door where God is going to call us for travailing, for the revival that we've seen in our spirits all these years, that it be birthed in people's hearts and in this town, in this place. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, the earth was without form and void." The words "without form" are the Hebrew word tohu, which means a desolation, to lie waste, a desert, a worthless thing, confusion, empty, barren, a formless, lifeless mass. And in verse 2, goes on to tell us that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. The Amplified says the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. The word brood means to give birth to something. A mother hen broods over her eggs before they hatch. And the Spirit of the Lord was brooding or hovering over the earth. It was the Holy Spirit that brooded or hovered over the earth, releasing his creative energies or power at the words of God, giving birth to what he spoke. Even today, we say an idea or a vision or a nation was birthed. A new nation comes to being. It was birthed. A vision was birthed. A new idea was birthed. It was born. It came into being. The word brooding, giving life to that which was used when the earth was created, is the very same words used in Isaiah 66:8 that says, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And I believe God's going to go us into a time of travailing, that we bring forth the harvest. We've longed for the harvest. We've longed to reach the people here of our community. We've longed to see souls saved. And as soon as Zion, which is the church, travails, she shall bring forth her children. What the Holy Spirit was doing in Genesis when he brought forth or gave birth to the earth is exactly what he wants to do through our prayers, bringing forth sons and daughters. He wants to go forth and hover around individuals, releasing his awesome power to convict, break bondages, bring revelation, and draw them to himself, in order to cause the new birth or new creation in them. The Holy Spirit wants to birth through us. Give me just a second. There's a prophecy I've got to read that goes along with this. I should have it here. Okay. November 11th, in a dream from God, that Calvin had, he said, I walked into the living room and felt an overwhelming presence of the Lord. As I got to the second recliner, I fell to my knees and started wailing in repentance. I was repenting for more than myself. I was repenting for the world. Barbara came in from the office and fell on her knees and started wailing beside me. I heard the words, a great light cometh. Then I saw a huge explosion of light, then multiple explosions of various sizes. I thought of it as being an ammo dump on fire with all sizes of ammunition going off at once. But he went into a travail or a weeping of repentance before the great light came. Hallelujah. Travailing prayer is often followed by prophetic declarations, as in Genesis chapter 1. Following the hovering of the Lord in Genesis 1 and 2, in verse 3, God said, let there be light, and light was. Continuing throughout chapter 1, God said, and it happened. Prophecy is God supernaturally speaking through his people. Prophecy speaks the will of God into a situation. It's a creative word that causes things to happen. As we prophesy the word of the Lord, it's a creative force that causes something to happen. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, and it was. And as we come in to being in sync with the Holy Ghost, and we begin prophetically to speak forth God's will into a situation, it brings energy and life, and it changes, and it's a creative force that makes things happen. Hallelujah. That's why in 1 Corinthians 14:1 encourages us to desire spiritual gifts, but especially that we may prophesy, because prophesying is speaking God's word into the situation, and His words bring life. His words are power. His words are creative. They make things happen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." The purpose of prophecy is not to uncover the dirt, but to rather to find the gold and bring it to the surface. And I have heard this when listening to Bill Johnson's teachings. A lot of their people, as they go out witnessing, the Lord just begins to give them prophetic words to people that's not even born again yet. And He begins to say, you have a desire to do this and that. You've had a great desire to go into the entertainment field, and you have an anointing to produce movies, and you, if that is a gift upon you. And it brings them to life because they know that that was there. And they respond, and they give their heart to the Lord and their lives to the Lord, and they begin to pursue what the Lord said about them. And so, you know, years ago when Bobby was a young teenager, not walking right before God, an evangelist came and he began to prophesy to him things that God had for his life and his future. And those things have come to pass, what God has done through him. It's happened. But at the time, it was the furthest thing in the world from what he was doing. But that prophetic word came alive in his spirit, and he began to move towards what God's purpose was for him was. You know, prophetic words over people, God sees his calling and his purpose in them. And when it's spoken out, their spirit connects to it, and they begin to be drawn toward what God's purposes are for their life. Hallelujah. They're powerful. Hallelujah. A revival can be described by a visitation of God's Spirit to people, but an awakening is a time of such intense visitation by God that both the Christian and the non-Christian communities are affected. A revival will hit the church, but an awakening hits the community. It hits everybody. It's just an awakening puts God's presence all over the place. Hallelujah. While revival affects the lives of individuals, awakenings alter a whole people or culture. And down through history, the key to every awakening that has taken place has been prayer. Every revival. You can study all of the great revivals where nations were changed and great things were affected. And it started with prayer. And usually a travailing prayer where there was somebody with such a burden, they would cry and cry and cry and cry, buckets of tears before the Lord. Through our prayers, we must give birth to the plan of God for our community. And just like Ezekiel prophesied to the dead, dry bones to live, we must, through the prophetic word of God, must speak life and speak God's will and speak life. Speak life, speak life. Ezekiel prophesied to those dead, dry bones, and he said, live, live, live. And the bones that were separated and all scattered out begin to come together. They begin to come together, and they begin to rise up, and breath came into them, and they moved. Hallelujah. And God wants us as his people to begin to prophesy to our community, travail for our community, prophesy over our community, prophesy over God's purposes for us. Hallelujah. This last Sunday and Monday, God sent us to a community in Mexico that has never had a Christian church. And he said, just go, open the heavens over that community. Just begin to pray, open my purpose for this people. And we obeyed, we went, we had awesome prayer times. When we were on our way there, Jorge Chow emailed us or sent us a text, and just happens once, twice a year. But every time it's when we're going somewhere to do something for the Lord, and we says we're going to San Pedro de las Cuevas, you know, just be in prayer. The next, he just sent us back. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. You're opening the door to the presence of the Lord in that place, and where the presence of the Lord can come in and touch the people's lives. Hallelujah. So that was just a testimony of the Lord, and we just thank God. But I don't want a ho-hum Christianity. I don't want to just live and just come to church and just sing. I want to see God move. I want it so bad. I want to see the sick healed. I want to see people that's lost come to the Lord, make a big turnaround. I want to see all of Douglas born again. Jesus died for all of them. All of them. He gave his life for everyone. And I believe if we will travail and respond to God as he calls upon us to pray, as he calls upon us to repent for our communities. You know, it's like the sins of our community isn't them and us. It's like, who's the watchman on the wall? Who's the watchman on the wall? If there's sin in the community, whose fault is it? What did the watchman let in? There's a repentance that needs to come from us for our community. It's our sin. It's our sin. The sins of our community are on us as well. And we can begin to repent for the sake of our community. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just say, God, here I am. Here we are. Stir us, move us, motivate us. Let that spirit of intercession fall upon us. Let that spirit of travail fall on us. And Lord, that your light will come in great explosions and just be like an ammo going off. Oh, le keshamboritina la rabindo kafrundei shabunai alenei shanganonei inda pafro hashei pohafranei. Oh, le keshei no motei, for it shall be for the purpose of the kingdom of God. It shall be for my purpose, and it is my heart. It is my heart, and it is in my plan. Oh, for there to be explosions, many, many explosions of my light and my glory, that the dark world may see my glory and may see the light and run unto the light. Oh, hombo shaninda hakomanitindai bohalanishe. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Lord. We just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I just pray that this message just messed you all up. Messed us all up. We just can't go on as ho-hum life as usual, but that we'll have a passion for God, a passion for our community. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you here on Sunday. And church is over.